Blog Talk Radio.
Quien tú eres, ey, dime socio, quien tú eres, pa' frontearme a mí, quien tú eres, ey, habla claro, quien tú eres, ey, puede bicho, quien tú eres, ey, dime socio,
quien tú eres. Welcome to the Ed Buzz Show, my name is Ed Molina, I'm a partner of crime as usual, Fuzzy Biscuits. Ah, man, I wanted to let that shit run, and I gotta eat my bowl of crow right away. That was Bad Bunny, Quien Tu Eres, and right now Bad Bunny can say who the fuck you think you are to the whole entire wrestling world, because the man pretty much was up there stealing WrestleMania week. We're going to recap that, and let's just start with that right away. It's a new bar, I would say. I kind of had Stephen Amell and Pat McAfee up there, and Bad Bunny kind of set a new bar. I like this era of celebrity that takes this so serious. They're real legit fans, which you said that about McAfee. You kept talking me down, like, Ed, just give the guy a chance. But I like this era of celebrity that they're super fans. They're not just fans, they're super fans. And they want to show out. You know, I've never in my wildest dreams that I would see Bad Bunny doing a Canadian Destroyer. Like, to the point where the inventor
Puerto Rican
of the Canadian Destroyer. Yeah, the Bunny Destroyer, whatever you want, Boricua Destroyer, whatever you want to call it. But the inventor of the Destroyer, Petey Williams, even he shouted him out like, yo, that was hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, he earned the respect of that locker room a lot like Stephen Amell did when he did it, when he did both WrestleMania and All In. Same thing with McAfee, to the point where he's now an announcer on NXT. And, yeah, man, like, I'm serving you up my bowl of crow because you said, hey, Ed, you got nothing to worry about. So, I told you.
Let me ask you this, I mean, this is what I want to know. We tend to talk a lot, you know, in our pre-WrestleMania stuff about WrestleMania moments, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Puerto Rican Destroyer, a WrestleMania moment.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and not just a celebrity moment, a legit WrestleMania moment.
I'll tell you why, and it I think actually the celebrity plays a small part, and this is why. Because I'd say that was possibly the biggest moment in WrestleMania, and this is what I'm basing it on. What do you think the biggest oh shit moment was of WrestleMania?
That was it. That was one of them.
And you could sense it. You knew it wasn't just you that was oh shit. You knew everybody in attendance. That was a real oh shit moment.
Yes.
And to me, that was the biggest like moment in WrestleMania. So I think that was definitely a WrestleMania moment, but I think there's people who don't feel that way.
I also want to give props to The Miz and Morrison because they're only as good as a dance partner. They could have easily tanked them. They could have easily tanked them. And look, part of the art of this business, part of the art of the ring, of what goes on in the ring, selling, making your opponent look good. And I mean, if you don't think The Miz belongs in the Hall of Fame, you're bugging. You're bugging. I don't know. I he sold his ass off for Bad Bunny.
But did I not also say that?
You did.
I also said that Miz and Morrison were the perfect guys to sell him.
Yes. You know why I like throwing Morrison in there? You watch Lucha Underground. I watched some AAA, and John Morrison actually is very, very fluent in Spanish. And I think, you know, when you're giving instructions in the ring, like whispering to each other in the ring, thinking maybe that other bilingual person within the tag team. And plus, I like seeing Morrison show out his Spanish. I like, hey, I like, oh, man, I'm going to butcher her name. Taya Valkyrie, who's now in NXT. I like her showing out her Española, Güera Loca, as she calls herself. But we'll get to that NXT, the fallout.
But this is, I got to continue with the I told you so, because I have told you this on several occasions. And I just told my Uber driver this the other day, and he was like, you're 10,000% right. Do you want to know what Latinos really love?
Wrestling?
No, white people who can speak Spanish. They love that shit.
Oh, how you think Bloomberg won the Latino vote in New York City? How you think
they
won
shit.
The Latino vote when he became president?
And I've told you this. I've told you this. Like, I mean, honestly, what's half the reason your parents like me?
Because you can speak their language. You can
communicate.
You made an effort. But to them, it shows, and it kind of works the same way both in advertising, marketing, and in politics. Because it shows effort that this outsider is willing to learn and try to talk to me in my language, like he's making the effort. So we'll go to Bloomberg, polarizing character, how people feel a certain type of way about him. But the reason Bloomberg was, as much as people clowned Bloombito and they had the Twitter accounts, within the Latino community here in New York, he got over because, in wrestling terms, because they understood him. He made the effort. He would always throw a phrase in Spanish at every press conference. So he made sure that Univision and Telemundo had their quote, they had their soundbite, made it worth their effort and time to be at the press conference by doing that. And so there's a lot of truth to what you're saying about that. But look, that's how John Morrison's gotten over with Mexican audiences. He spent a lot of time in Mexico, put a lot of work, working in AAA, working that lucha style. His hardcore, parkour, whatever style that you want to call it, really translated well to that lucha style in Mexico. And, you know, you're right. It helps people appreciate the effort of someone trying to talk to them in their language and communicate, even if it's broken.
Yeah, I had this young Salvadorian kid driving me to work. And he was like, there was something. And I said, yeah, you know, I know Spanish. And he was like, yo, that's so dope. And I was like, see, y'all love that shit. He's like, what? I was like, man, I'm telling you, y'all love white people that speak Spanish. And he was like, yeah, we do.
That's hilarious. It's true, though.
But I mean, it's true. But because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people shit on Latinos. So you gotta get with the allies, you know? You got to appreciate
it. The previous president showed, yeah. Fuck that guy. Anyway, I'm looking at a review on that guy. But no, even W, you know, obviously W not the most popular president on the planet. W's got a lot of love among Mexican voters in Texas because he married Mexican. He speaks it well. He speaks it real good. Like,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't vote for it, but credit where the credit is due. Again, it shows the effort. It shows an effort that you're trying to communicate to this market. And, you know, no lies detected, as the gift says, you know. But, yeah, I guess bringing it back to wrestling, you know, I think considering how quickly tickets sold out for the Bad Bunny tour of 2022 when he goes back on tour, I mean, that shows you why he was there. And to his credit and me eating crow, you know, he put in the work. He stopped his entire life to move to Orlando to train. From what I've read, credit to Drew Gulak, Adam Pearce, Damian Priest, all of them working, you know, working with him so that he wouldn't embarrass himself or hurt himself, because he could have hurt himself. Let's keep it real. We almost saw Snoop Dogg break a knee when he did a frog splash on AEW.
What do you think of this, though? Didn't he announce that that's his last tour?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like that.
You think he's
going to
wrestle?
You know, the Black Album. No, he's not going to wrestle full time. So it's too much guaranteed money. Yo, the bank that he makes fucking doing records. Like, I don't think the English. But I don't think your average English speaker understands.
I don't think they do. They don't. They definitely don't. They think Bad Bunny, Dave Meltzer, nobody knows Bad Bunny. They, like, think that he's not, like, huge.
Dave Meltzer was talking about him. He's like, oh, he's just a Spanish rapper. Like, yo, that's not doing your homework, son. And, you know,
no.
I'm like, yo, you don't understand the market if you don't understand what Bad Bunny brought to the table as far as eyeballs. Look, there's women I know that are huge Bad Bunny fans from before wrestling that watched wrestling that night with their husbands or their brothers or whoever watches.
Listen,
you know, that never watched wrestling. We're not talking friend of the show, Bonnie here, who by the way is already a fan of Bad Bunny. We're talking women that give no fucks about wrestling. Watch that.
I work with a Puerto Rican lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
She hates wrestling. And do you know what she did? Like, the next morning, I got a text from her, and she was talking, like, how good did Bad Bunny look? And I was like, you watch? She was like, of course. I mean, he's like, you know what I mean? Like, in Puerto Rico, let alone the rest of the world. But, I mean, okay, so we know that. We know that he makes, you know, he's a huge star. He's got plenty of money. That being said, we don't know how much he really thinks he needs endless money. I mean,
That's a good point.
As well as I do, he could retire. He could retire. He doesn't need the money. And he'll make plenty wrestling.
Yeah.
He'll make plenty wrestling, though.
Yeah,
but that'll just be money to play
around
with. He's set for life.
I see what you're saying. I see that theory. Like I said, if you were asking me would I'd rather be an athlete or like a rapper or the lead singer of a metal band, I'd rather be the lead singer of a band or a rapper because I don't have to work out. I don't have to train.
But look, let me real quick before we move on. I just remembered something. You want to know like a real good white people don't get it moment that I experienced in Miami?
Sure.
You'll appreciate this. So, you know, I'm on the boat. We're going around, going to Star Island, all the places. I see, you know, I send you the pictures of the houses. You see Puffy's house, my stalker Shakira's house, you know, and like, all, you know, all the big celebrity houses.
Sure.
So Ricky Martin.
Mm-hmm.
This like old white couple, probably from like Topeka, Kansas or something. They're like, now that's just crazy. You can get a house like that in Miami just off La Vida Loca. And, like, I almost yelled it out. I was like, fucking Menudo. Like, what are you talking about? Menudo. But, like, white people don't know that Ricky Martin was in Menudo, and they don't know how big Menudo was.
No. Now, he might have been robbed. He might have had, like, one of those shady deals, which is, you know, Menudo, there's a whole dark
maybe,
side.
But to
you
say that
whole
Ricky
dark side
Martin
Menudo
only did La Vida Loca?
No, but
he was a legit child superstar.
Yes, absolutely. 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 It's kind of like with Shakira. I remember Shakira when she was a redhead teen doing Unplugged, like the Alanis Morissette thing, you know, before Hips Don't Lie and all the straight bangers. I'm a biased Shakira fan, so Shakira. But I go back to her as when she was doing the Alanis Morissette redhead thing, like being emo and shit. Like, I loved her. I had the biggest crush on her. And, you know, but to American audiences, their introduction to Shakira was not Hips Don't Lie, but it was Laundry Service, whatever. That was the song, which was compared to the stuff that she used to write in Spanish, it's just like, it's easy baked pop song type of thing. There's no complexity to it. At least I don't think so. Well, let me fall back, because what the fuck do I know about music, right? But it seemed like a simpler song than some of the other stuff. Like, he was doing, like, rancheras, like, you know, when she was younger. So, but, no, you're right about that. It's, you know, thing about being Latino in America, and there's levels to it, because I'm first generation, which is a different experience than friend of the show, Bonnie, who's third generation. I think third generation on one half of the family, second on the other half, which is different than my cousin Marcos, who came here. We're not going to talk about his legal status, but he came here, like, on his own, and we all have different perspectives.
Don't blow him up like that.
it's a long story. He's got a case pending. I can't even talk about it, but I'm not sticking anything out of school, but You know,
listen, I'm not judging. I've had family members deported.
Point is that we all add to a little flavor, a little sazon, a little adobo to this melting pot, whether people like it or not. We ain't going anywhere. And as friend of the show, Bonnie said, you know, for example, with the Mexican community, you know, U.S. kind of took that land. It's not just, you know, it's not one of those, like, it was given to them. Shit was taken, you know?
Yeah,
you cross
weird,
the border,
though.
Speaking... the border crossed them. Like, that's the saying. I was trying to remember off the top of my head, you know? So
it's weird, though. Like, if you think about it, like, you know, talking about Bonnie, like, being, like, third generation Latino, like, on the – being both of us being from the East Coast, like, I don't know if I know anybody that's third-generation Latino. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't happen. But, like, Texas, California, places like that,
yep.
You know,
it's
been...
Parts of Florida, you see
old for a while, yeah. But, like, being from the East Coast, like everybody I know is, like, first-generation. I don't even know if I know any second-generation.
Wow, that's interesting. I never really thought about that. I mean, Puerto Rican-wise, yeah, you got... second and third generations as
no,
far as
all
citizens.
Latinos.
It's
all
a different
Latinos
dynamic.
DC. I don't think I know any second or third generation.
That's an interesting dynamic. I never really thought of it that way. I'm going to be pondering that tonight. You know that.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, think about it. New York, there's not a lot in New York.
No, you're right. You're right. You might be right. I think I've met a couple third generation Puerto Rican, because Puerto Ricans have been here for a long time in New York City. It's a different experience being Puerto Rican in that they're citizens as opposed to, say, my parents' experience and my experience. But again, that's part of that labor, that sazon, that, you know, adobo, whatever you want to call
parents,
it. That
your parents
had...
are citizens.
Yes, they are, absolutely.
You know,
I'm
more family members. Let's make sure their
listen.
Names are clear while you're snitching on your family members.
Listen, I am my parents' green cards. They became citizens. They're hardworking citizens of this country. And anyone that don't like it, can SMD. Real talk, like SMD from behind. I don't give a fuck. Like that. I'm proud of my heritage, where I'm from, and what they did to get here. So I don't give a fuck how anybody feels about that. That's just me. But you know. Again, you know, it's a different experience. I mean, we've talked about this endlessly. Like, you know, I grew up in a world where it's like listening to Spanish music like Shakira and like Menudo and then Gran Combo. And, you know, at the same time, my dad's playing like Blondie, Heart of Glass. You know, that was like my first exposure to punk because my dad liked Heart of Glass.
Yeah, I didn't know
my
Mondo
friend.
Is such eclectic taste.
Yeah, no, he loved disco. He loved disco growing up.
That's my man right there, though. I'm not surprised. That's my man.
But let's move on because we talked a lot about not being. I guess we'll speed through it because it's four shows. It's mainly it's four shows, and we didn't even do like the other shows such as I'm trying to think Bloodsport, which we didn't even do like any of those outside shows. But what were the highlights for you NXT wise, Mania wise? What do you think? What three things stood out for you outside of Bad Bunny?
Did we talk about NXT already, though? I think we talked
no.
about TakeOver, didn't we?
We did not, because we had to preview two nights of Mania. We did not. It's all one big bloop to finalize the trilogy.
I'm trying
like
to...
Like Star Wars.
So TakeOver.
I'll go with TakeOver. I'll tell you what. I got to apologize to Pete Dunne and Kushida, and I got to apologize to Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly because I was very dismissive of those matches that we didn't even review them. We just kind of put out a winner, and I thought Pete Dunne and Kushida put a match of the week type of quality match. Certainly Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Again, these are guys, we joked about it, and I flossed over because it's like, yo, how many times can I see Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly? I've seen it in Ring of Honor. I've seen it in New Japan. I've seen it. It's happened in PWG. Like, it's just, it's been over, you know, kind of like Sammy and Kevin Owens. But they put out a great match that was different than the other matches that they put out. So credit to them and apologies for disrespecting their match. The other thing that stood out NXT was the ascension of Raquel Gonzalez. I didn't think I was going to mark out the way I did. And I love the Chingona Bomb. I love, again, her embracing of the culture. I guess me as a Latino, I feel pride that she calls it the Chingona Bomb. You know what I'm saying? Again, friend of the show, Bonnie, her being Mexican. You think it's funny? I'm surprised they can get away with it on TV. Friend of the show, Bonnie, you know, again, seeing someone like her of her food group, as I call it, she went out and bought a Chingona Bomb t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? I think those are the things that stood out. It really is.
Yeah.
Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor. I was a little surprised. I thought that they were going to keep Balor with the title. I really enjoyed Gargano and Bronson Reed. Santos Escobar Devlin was a damn good match. I was surprised they let Escobar win. And yeah, those were kind of my quick. Oh, and of course, what I thought match NXT wise match of the two nights, I thought was Ciampa versus Walter. Although you could have made a case for MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans and Legado del Fantasma. So we'll go there. I guess I'll let you comment on NXT and your impressions of Takeover Stand and Deliver.
I mean, I'd say very solid. I thought it was, you know, I mean, but that's expected from Takeover. But I thought both nights were good. I'd say to me, like, since you started off with, like, what you underestimated, I was kind of, like, left wondering, like, how I had underestimated, like, Johnny Takeover at Takeover. Because I think, like, to me, the best match was Gargano-Reed.
That was solid.
And afterward, I was like, how did I, like, I just slept on Johnny Takeover during Takeover. Like, that was dumb. I thought that match to me, I thought that Santos Escobar, like I told you off the grid, I thought the Santos Escobar ladder match, I thought it was good. I thought it was a great match, but I stand by what I said. If I wasn't expecting it to be that short, if they had given him even like 10 more minutes, that could have been a classic and probably like match of the two nights. But I wasn't surprised with Kross, though. I mean, I figured Kross would get his belt back. I mean, you know, nobody beat him for it, so I figured he was getting it back, you know, the first time it made sense.
I was this close to making Dunn and Kushida versus match of the NXT two nights. This close. I was surprised at how into the match I was. It was a very New Japan type of match, which I loved. I guess because Pete Dunne and Kushida Ball, I can see why. But yeah, I thought that was almost, you know what, I'm gonna call that my sleeper of the whole week. Because I came away like, man, that was a really good, I was pondering that match for a couple of days. Like, man, that was a really good match. And that I did them a disservice. That's on me. So, but I guess that leads us to, one thing, though, and I will say, how do you feel about which it seems like they're setting up Kyle O'Reilly versus Killer Kross. I don't know if you watched NXT. I'm not going to give you any spoilers. But they're teasing it.
How do I feel about it?
Yeah, what do you think? Is that something you want to see right there? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't really, honestly, I haven't put too much thought to, like, who I think would make a good, I guess not necessarily a rivalry or, you know, a good opponent that's going to, you know, also create, like, a good build-up and good storyline for, like, Karrion Kross. I haven't really thought about that. But, you know, just, like, with names being thrown out there, like, yes, I mean, I would definitely want to see Kyle O'Reilly, Karrion Kross. I mean, I think in the past 2 years, like, I don't know if anybody's, like, not that he wasn't, like, that he had, like, this long way to come. But, like, the last 2 years, I don't know, like, looking at NXT, I don't know if there's anybody else who I could say, like, has elevated as much in, like, the last 2 years as Kyle O'Reilly.
I agree with that. And this is a guy who's
I mean, I'd love to see it. I don't know if that would be my number one because I haven't really thought about it, but I definitely would not be upset if that were, like, you know, his first defense.
With Kyle O'Reilly, I mean, this was the Ring of Honor champion when he was feuding with Adam Cole.
That's what I'm saying. He's had his success, and he's always been a solid wrestler. But, like, I don't know. I feel like the last 2 years in NXT, he's really, like, you know, jumped up.
And I'll tell you what my theory on that is he's throwing great promos. He has a personality. It all started when Undisputed was first introduced, and he was kind of playing air guitar down the ramp. I was like, oh, shit, like, Kyle O'Reilly showing a personality that he never had in Ring of Honor. In Ring of Honor, he was kind of this – it wasn't like – at least with Chris Benoit, he had a menacing personality in the ring. We're talking about in-ring work. We're not talking about the other shit, the shittiness of it all. But what I mean is, like, you know, Chris Benoit couldn't throw a promo for shit. His value was that he was so good in the ring, he made happy. In a lot of ways, that was Kyle O'Reilly at Ring of Honor. Now it comes to NXT. You got to take promo classes. You got to learn things the WWE way, the NXT way. And all of a sudden, he's playing air guitar. You know, he's making faces. He's mocking the crowd. He's doing shit that he never really did in Ring of Honor. Now, maybe it's because in Ring of Honor, he was more of a face. But he's showing a personality that I didn't know he had. And like you said, I think that with his ring work has helped elevate him. To why, like, wow, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that he didn't have the ability to be a main eventer. That he was missing that little extra oomph, if you will. And that's not a knock on Ring of Honor. It's just things are done differently in NXT and WWE. Oh, excuse me. That's the pineapple cider talking. Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God.
But point is, hey, check you, it is, sorry. but point is he has a personality and a charisma that I feel was lacking. Like, I loved Red Dragon and you know, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly as a tag team in Ring of Honor, and I loved them as a heavyweight champion. But I'm not heavyweight champion, but as a champion. It's just like I said, it's different. He has a swagger now. He has an attitude, whether as a face or heel, whatever, that I dig, you know? And I think that's – we've seen that transformation over the last 2 years continue to grow leaps and bounds, and it's going to be interesting how that translates now that he's in a main event scenario or program with Karrion Kross. So it's going to be interesting. The other thing real quick, it looks like they're also setting for Taya Valkyrie. It's Frankie Monet, her name. Big fan of her work from from Impact. That is Johnny Mundo / Sean Morrison's wife. She can go. She can go. La Güera Loca. She was a champion, women's champion, La Reina in AAA. You know, I am looking forward to seeing her step up against someone like Io Shirai, and it seems like that's what they're setting up. No spoilers. I don't know if you haven't seen yesterday's show, but there was a pretty good little interaction between them that I think you'll enjoy. Let's move on. WrestleMania. We talked about Bad Bunny stealing the show. I guess, what were your impressions of the two nights? What stood out? What didn't stand out? What disappointed? What you got?
I'd say I was kind of surprised at how good the show was. I mean, I expected better than last year, of course, but I mean, this was one of the better WrestleManias in a while. Now night one being a lot better than night two, but you know, night two wasn't bad. I feel like it just hit right. Like, setting it off with Lashley McIntyre, which was a great match. First night's main event, you know, I loved it. My girl got her strap. And I mean, it was just, I mean, that match was just, it was a great match, but also like the feel of the match and the enormity of the match. Like, and it just didn't disappoint at all. So
I'd agree.
You know, and then the second night main event, great match, great way to end it. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, and then of course Bad Bunny's moment. I'm trying to think what else were like some really good matches. I thought, which I believe you called, I thought Cesaro Rollins was a really good match. Cesaro. And
Cesaro, as he kept calling
him. I think Cesaro kind of
had
his WrestleMania moment.
Yes.
You know, like, I mean, I don't know. I think what stood out was that it just, you know, it was just good all the way around. Nothing stood out that much because it was really solid. There were no real lulls. There were matches here and there which weren't the most exciting, but they, you know, not like in succession. Like they definitely were broken up, you know? And when it's long shows like that, you don't mind one match that you don't necessarily pay that close attention to. It kind of gives you your break, you know?
You know what surprised me that I kind of, not marked out, but I was like, okay, that was cool. That I was surprised that I was surprised.
Yeah, kind of.
Like the way they built him up, I was expecting some clumsy Giant Gonzalez, the Yeti, you know, big for nothing. Like we see those in wrestling all the time. Guys are just tall and big for nothing and barely coordinated. But they just put in a ring because they look the part. And almost it almost does look the part. And again, credit to New Day, the professionalism of Selly. They made him look like $1 million. They really did. They made him look like a world leader. And credit to New Day for that. I was surprised I enjoyed that match as much as I did. Also, you know, I actually enjoyed the Tag Team Turmoil match. I think because of the excitement of the crowd and it just being, you know, the excitement of Mania, maybe I gave it a little extra points, like, you know, positive points. But, I enjoyed the Riot Squad. Natalya and Tamina were fun in that match. And you called that. They went into the second night against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, which, by the way, I was surprised they got the clean win. They didn't have to bring Homeboy. I forget his name. Wine Guy. I forgot his name, but
Reggie.
Yes. Yes, Reggie. I kind of can't stand him, but I'm with Shane on this one. I'm like, yo, what the fuck in the sky? now, there's someone, again, who's developed a personality, much like Kyle O'Reilly. As we've seen her progress, she's developed more of a personality in the last 6 months to a year than she's ever had, wherein, again, in NXT, she was that Chris Benoit / Ring of Honor Kyle O'Reilly, where it's like, you know, you don't really expect them to say much because they're just killers in the ring. And she had some great matches with Bianca. She had some great matches with Io. I think her matches with Kairi were some of NXT's best work that they put out there. I do like them as a tag team. It's just the end. It seems you see it coming. The end is inevitable that these two are going to break up. But, that match was what it was. To me, match of the two nights was Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. I think that lived up to what I was expecting, to the work that they can do. And yes, that was Cesaro's WrestleMania moment. I like how they built them up, where it's like, you've never even had a singles match here. You ain't shit. And, you know, and him stepping up like the way he did, I really enjoyed that match. I got to be honest with you. I enjoyed Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan more than I probably should have. I love that arrogant asshole pin of just stacking bodies. And then fire my $1 million worth of pyro. Oh, my God. I love the head of the table. And you know who I'm a fan of now? How about this? Jey Uso has been in more WrestleMania main events than CM fucking Punk. How about that, Matt? Well, main event Jey.
Yeah.
I'm you know, I'm a big CM Punk fan, so it breaks my heart saying that a little bit. but what about main event, Jay? a lot of people were annoyed by that. I actually enjoyed it. But again, it's selling the whole heel thing that Roman Reigns is going on, who's really, really good at it. Like, why didn't they let him do this earlier with this suffering succotash bullshit that they had him doing? I love it. I love it, man. I love it. But yeah, I those are kind of some of my brief impressions. Oh, I tell you, you asked me another, what else, what was another oh shit moment? I'm not going to lie. Bobby Lashley beating Drew McIntyre clean. That was an oh shit moment for me. I did not think they were going to let him keep that title. I thought they were, that match was being built up for it to be Drew McIntyre's moment that he didn't get, which again, as I said, he got his moment. It's not his fault that the world went sideways. You know what I mean? And I'm glad Lashley got that moment. I hope he has a good run. I hope he has a long run. You know, that was the other oh shit moment for me, as far as like Lashley winning was an oh shit moment. I guess the only match I didn't really care for was Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon and Apollo Crews and Big E. But, you know, the show overall was solid enough, that I can not even dwell on it. It's like, yeah, it is what it is. It happened. It's done. You know, I will say it's hilarious that they turned a smaller guy, Shane McMahon, into the quote-unquote the bully. Like, the whole thing of selling Braun Strowman as a victim was kind of interesting, a little different, you know what I mean? Usually the smaller guys are picked on. But this was more of a intellectual, I guess, bullying, if you will.
It was bad.
Overall, I'd give the show a B. I really enjoyed myself. B+. I thought it was solid. I still predict, you heard it here first, I still predict it'll be The Rock versus Roman Reigns in Dallas. And as I said on social media, I fully expect to be there next year. I absolutely fully expect to be in Dallas next year for that. Like, in my head, there's no doubt about it. None. I don't know what my job's going to be like next year. I really don't. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, facetiously. I really don't. But I'm going to be in Dallas. I know that much. I'm going to be there Mania week. And I'm going to be there to watch The Rock versus Roman Reigns. That shit's going to be lit.
I will be there as well.
We got a couple of minutes. There's actually a big card coming up that I feel that's been under the radar. We have the Rebellion pay-per-view, or Impact Rebellion pay-per-view coming up. And the Forbidden Door, we always talk about the Forbidden Door and what's going to come of the Forbidden Door. Well, we got it right now. Rich Swann, the Impact champion / TNA champion, because he's got two belts. He beat Moose at the pay-per-view that was WrestleMania week. Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega, Impact title versus AEW champion for title, you know, title for title. Like, it's interpromotional title for title on a big stage. I feel like it's gone so far under the radar. Some of that is AEW's fault, which I don't understand the point of opening a Forbidden Door if you're not going to pump it up. There's another match that intrigues me. It's Finn Juice. David Finley and Juice Robinson, who beat the Good Brothers at the last pay-per-view during WrestleMania week. They're the Impact champions. They've been running around all over Japan with the Impact titles, and so the Good Brothers get a rematch at Rebellion. And then the other match that intrigues me is for the Impact X Division title, which again, Ace Austin won the title at the last pay-per-view, and he'll be facing Josh Alexander, who I've become a huge fan of now that he's solo and no longer, I hate saying it, in the shadow of ego, Ethan Page, and TJP, who I've always been a fan of, even when he was Perkins, TJ Perkins, was, you know, a WWE fan, so I'm as such, for the X Division title. I'm going to start real quick. We're going to just go over the main event really quick. So I just want to put it in perspective. Rich Swann's title run, since he's been let go by WWE, since he's built himself up into a main event star. In his title run, he's beaten Eric Young, Sami Callihan, Ken Shamrock, Chris Bay, Tommy Dreamer, Moose, and now setting himself up against Kenny Omega, the big bout machine Kenny Omega. I've utterly enjoyed this run of his. Unfortunately, the business being the business, we all know what this is about. We know who's going to win that match. We know who they're going to put the title on. And I'm just curious, what do you think of the idea of Kenny Omega both Impact and AEW champion? Because there's a sense of inevitability to it. Now, I didn't see the show earlier today. I'm actually, after I get off the phone, I'm going to watch Dynamite to see if they do anything to promote this weekend's match. But I'm curious, what do you think of the possibility of Kenny Omega being champ? For not one, not two, three organizations, because he's also the AAA mega champion, the Omega champion, as he said. Is this what's best for business?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and you've kind of said it without saying it. I mean, I think it's what's best for business for Impact more than AEW.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, they have Kenny Omega main eventing. You know,
true.
I mean, that's, you know, as strong as Rich Swann's run has been, it's, you know, he's not Kenny Omega drawing power or, you know, I mean, it's I think it's.
That's fair.
I think it's good for Impact. I mean, AEW. You know, I think AEW, even though they're the, you know, number two promotion, like, you know, WWE's run it for so long, it's just kind of adding to their audience. It's not like putting them over the top, but it's adding to the audience, I think.
I'm torn about this because I don't feel like – I feel like sometimes AEW doesn't do enough to put over Impact, but it's not their job to put Impact over. Like, okay, you're putting them over by putting the belt on Kenny Omega, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like they've done a lot of promo work, even though they're, you know, for Impact for this pay-per-view. Now, again, that's not their obligation. That's not Tony Khan's obligation. That's really on Impact. But you're about to make the man the face of the company. Like, I feel like there's got to be some sort of effort to that. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something I'm not seeing. What I'm curious about is I think there's going to be a swerve. I don't know if that swerve is Ibushi, because I don't think it's coincidence that Ibushi is calling himself a wrestling god at the same time that Kenny Omega is calling himself a wrestling god. That's not an accident, in my opinion. And then you have Tama Tonga, who has a huge, huge problem with the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks using the Bullet Club brand when they're not Bullet Club. And on this one, I side with G.O.D. in the Bullet Club. I'm a Jay White fan. I run with Jay White Evil, and I run with that, the real Bullet Club. So I'm kind of expecting a swerve this weekend. I don't know what that swerve is, whether it's Ibushi, whether it's Tama Tonga and Tongaloa. Who knows? I don't know what to expect. John Moxley could show up. Shoot, they just let go of a bunch of WWE guys. We could see Samoa Joe show up out of nowhere. I'm not even joking. I don't know if he even got a 90 days or not. We could see La Sombra. We could see Andrade. There is a mystery to this pay-per-view that intrigues me.
Well, it's Go they ahead. All have everyone that's released. I believe it's a 45-day no competition or it might not be 90,
compete
but
clause.
It's at least 45. All have it. Oh. Every wrestler that got released has the no compete clause, and I think it's 45 days.
You might be right. You might be right. I don't know when the clock starts ticking on that, because 45 days don't sound like a lot of time.
I'm assuming the day they were released.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'm just hyping myself
up. But they
all
have the clause.
Booking. Maybe I'm just booking in my head. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't like wandering into what ifs. But there's just an air of mystery about this pay-per-view. that fascinates the shit out of me. I'm going to buy this pay-per-view. I'm going to legit straight up buy this pay-per-view. And it's going to be fantastic, and I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, we got to go. We'll do it again next week. All right, man. Check you later. Peace.
Late.
Hey, what's, oh, oh, shit.